Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Last weekend, I left all of you as we looked at the fifth chapter of Mark, and three groups of people, or three times, Jesus is begged for something. For a quick recap, remember the demon-possessed man who had 4,000 to 6,000 demons in him? He begged Jesus, okay, get these demons out, and the demons, you might say, begged him to be cast into the swine, the pigs. And Jesus gave that request or permission to those demons. And they were cast out. They went into the pigs and killed themselves. Then the people who were Jewish people of a community not following God's word said, Jesus, leave. Jesus did not fight the freedom of the will, and he left the Gerasenes, who were Jewish people, wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And then the one who was demon-possessed and the demons cast out said, can I go with you, please? He begged, and Jesus said, no, go home. Tell people what God, Yahweh, has done for you. Then if you joined us for Ash Wednesday, I know some of you did not, that's okay. During the Lenten season, we have a Wednesday night service that takes place in our North Tulsa campus, where we come together, this group and that group. On Ash Wednesday, we continued and finished chapter 5, where a fourth person begged Jesus. Okay? This was a father who had a sick daughter. Parents, just imagine for a moment your child being deathly ill, and you see Jesus. What would you do? Well, this Jewish person broke ranks with the other Jewish people and the Jewish leaders and said, I'm going to Jesus. And he fell down before Jesus and begged him just to come and touch his daughter to heal him. And Jesus said, I'll do that. On the way, a woman who 12 years had a blood flow just touched the garment of Jesus, and she was healed. In the meantime, somebody said to Jesus and the father going to the house, the daughter is dead. And Jesus looked at the father. And on Wednesday last week, Ash Wednesday, I said, take this home with you. He said these words, fear not and believe. I don't know what you may be going through in your life, but Jesus says, fear not and believe in him. And he went to the house and healed that little girl and raised her from the dead. She had died. Today, we're going to pick up the story in chapter 6. So open up that Bible. If you're joining me online, open your Bible to chapter 6. I'm going to start out with a little story. What did the backpack say to the luggage? You're looking a little stuffed. Well, lighten up a little. I want to get you to laugh, and I'll bring it in with my message. Know that. All right, chapter 6. Jesus leaves this little girl after he raised her, and he heads to his hometown. Now, Jesus lived on the north shore area of the Sea of Galilee. That's his home base. But he grew up in a town called Nazareth. Nazareth is a village of between 400 and 500 people. Did anybody here grow up in a town of 400 to 500 people? Oh, okay. Did you know everybody? Yeah. I grew up in a town of 2,000, and I can say to you, I probably knew everybody in the town. Okay. And they knew me. Okay. Now imagine a town of 400. Not only would you know everybody and everybody know you, they would know your business. Okay. All right. So Jesus goes to his hometown. And this happens. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, Where did this man, they knew that man, get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? So they saw Jesus. They heard the wisdom. They saw miracles, and their hearts were hardened. Remember, we follow Jesus, and he would speak words. He would do miracles, and hearts would be softened. For others, it would be hardened. The sun shines and melts wax and hardens clay. Same sun, gift from God. The words of this book called the Bible and the life of Jesus softens some people and hardens others. In his hometown, hearts were hardened. I want you to know, last year I went to my hometown, Gaylord, Minnesota, and I went to a class reunion. 62 in my class, about 35 members of my class showed up. Not one person looked at me and said, "Hi, Pastor Dreyer." No, they said, "Tim, 60-year-olds revert right back to 18 at class reunions. And if you've been to them, you know what I'm saying." Okay. So he comes home. He's the hometown kid. Okay. Notice what happens. Verse 3. "Is not this the carpenter?" Jesus' father, Joseph, was a carpenter. And Jesus was a carpenter too. "The son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon." Mark names every one of his brothers that were there with him. Mary had other children and daughters. "And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Their hearts were hardened. They looked at the hometown guy and said, "Who is this guy? We don't like him." Wow. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." Have you ever tried to witness to a relative, a friend, a son, a daughter, a grandchild, and they don't listen to you? Have you ever tried to get somebody you know to come to church with you and they won't do it? Okay, don't be hard on yourself. You're in good company. This happened with Jesus. In his own household, his brothers and sisters thought he was out of his mind at one time and wanted to spare him and pull him out of his ministry. Not everybody's going to understand you as a Christian and what you believe. But keep going. Don't stop. 5. "And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." Have you ever marveled at a relative, a child who doesn't follow in your ways and believe what you believe? Yeah. Jesus marveled at the fact that they took offense to him. He was God Almighty on earth. He couldn't please everybody. Let me say that again. He was God Almighty on earth and could not please everybody. Don't think you can. All right. "And he went about among the villages teaching." All right, moving right along. Verse 7. "And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority," notice this, "over unclean spirits." This is where the disciples become apostles. A disciple is a follower. An apostle is someone sent. And he sent them out two by two to accompany one another, to support one another. But this is the counterculture that Jesus brings in with the kingdom of God, even in our world. No king is going to give his word, his authority, his power to just ordinary men and women. A leader in the Roman Empire, somebody in charge of a legion of an army, is not going to give that authority, that power to common fishermen. But God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, gives his word, his authority, and his power to ordinary people, ordinary fishermen. He gives that power to you and to me. That's not what the kingdom of the world does, but that's what the kingdom of God is about, to change our world with his power, word, and authority. 8. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts. Now, you know my object lesson. But to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. The second tunic was at night, so you could keep warm. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, they will not listen to you. When you leave, shake off the dust that's on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. What is repentance? What is repent? It's a verb. It means to turn from what you're doing here to God. To turn from the sin you're doing here to a God who loves you and forgives you and wants to move you. What does the Holy Spirit do? I've been teaching this throughout the book of Mark because Mark emphasizes the Holy Spirit. The first thing the Holy Spirit, who works through word and sacrament ministry, does in your life is to show you yourself, your sinfulness, and the lack of your ability to forgive yourself and to stop what you're doing. Okay? He shows you and convicts you of your sin and the fact that you're going to die. And folks, you are. And then the Holy Spirit shows you the answer to sin, death, and the power of the devil. Your sin and the fact you're going to die. He shows you Jesus, your Lord and Savior. God Almighty on earth, who is the answer. Then the Holy Spirit moves you to draw closer to Jesus. Okay? He's going to move you to be baptized. He's going to move you to follow Jesus and be a disciple. He's going to move you to want to learn more, to read and understand what God's kingdom is all about. Part of that, the beginning, is to repent. Okay, 13. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Wow. What are you going to take home from that? If you're a disciple of Jesus, that means you follow him. And if you're a disciple, he wants to make you to fall under the apostolic commissioning of going forth. Okay? He wants you to go and tell others what he has done. Move you to tell others. All right, now we move. Mark moves us to a very sad saga, a very sad time in the life of the disciples, of John the Baptist, of Jesus, and Jesus himself. We're going to look at the death of John the Baptist. 14, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. It was no surprise, a resurrection for the Jewish people. They heard about it and believed in it from the Old Testament when a prophet would raise somebody from the dead. They thought this was John the Baptist. That's Jesus. 15. But others said, he's Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. Now, why would Herod say that? Because he had a troubled mind. Who is this Herod? He's Herod Antipas, okay, a tetrarch. What's a tetrarch? somebody who has authority over one-fourth. That's what tetrarch means, one-fourth. His father was Herod the Great, who killed all the babies in Bethlehem, the Christmas story. He had many wives and many sons. A lot of little Herods were running around. So Herod the Great was a terrible king, killed many of his sons and many of his wives. His fourth wife gave birth to Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas had three brothers, stepbrothers, you might say, half-brothers, okay? When Herod the Great died, these four received authority and power over land. Philip, Herod Philippi, lived in Rome. He had a wife, Herodias. And Herod Antipas went to Rome and seduced his brother's wife and married her and brought her back to the land of Canaan. Okay? He was Jewish. He shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. Leviticus 18 says, you will not have your brother's wife. And he didn't care what God's word said, seduced his sister-in-law and married her. Now, John the Baptist was a man who stood up against wrong. He wasn't afraid to voice his opinion. And he confronted Herod. Freeze frame. As Paul Harvey would say, I'm going to tell you now the rest of the story. So he's saying, Herod, nope, this is John. Jesus is John the Baptist who I beheaded. Why would he say that? He had a troubled heart and mind. And now we're going to learn the rest of the story. All right, 17. Now we go back in history, back in time. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, okay? His brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. So here's this woman fed up with John the Baptist, who's always confronting them, and she had a grudge and wanted to kill him. A grudge unchecked will lead to murder. Okay, now let me tell you something about your life. If you know the word of God and you're willing to speak about the word of God and stand firmly on the word of God, people will have a grudge against you. If you stand on the word of God and you say, do not murder anybody, even an infant in a mother's womb, somebody will hold a grudge against you. If you speak up on the word of God that marriage is between one man and one woman, someone will hold a grudge against you. If you say that Jesus Christ is the only way and the only truth and the only way to heaven, the Father, as Jesus proclaimed, someone will hold a grudge against you and take offense against you. The question is, are you going to stand on the word of God? Or what the world says. We're going to hear about a man who struggled with that. Well, do I follow God's word? Or do I follow what the world says? I just don't know what to do. Ever known anybody like that? Who struggled with a choice that they had to make after hearing the word of God? Let's take a look at King Herod, who wasn't even a king. He was a tetrarch. All right. 20, for Herod feared John. Now, that's not fearing, well, John could do something to me. No, respect, honor. That's when the Bible says we should fear the Lord, our God. It means to honor and respect him. knowing that he was a righteous and holy man. Whoa. And he kept him safe. He protected John the Baptist. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. What was he perplexed over? Well, is John right? Or is my flesh right marrying this woman? Oh, should I listen to John and what he says about the kingdom of God and Jesus? Or maybe I not worry about it because I'm the king. I have everything I need. And he struggled with that choice to follow or not, to listen or not. The sad note is this, just like all the folks we've watched and walked along with, his heart was hardened. Let's take a look at the story, the history lesson for us. 21, but an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. This was an all-men affair. Okay? And ladies, listen up. When a bunch of men get together and the only one invited is a young woman to dance, that's not a good thing. Okay? Men, listen up. What you put before your eyes is very important. It can lead you to go to the way of the flesh and not listen to God. Now, King Herod gets all of his men together, military, strong men. And you can just say the food is flowing and the alcohol is flowing. And it is Herodias, his wife, who allows her daughter to dance before a bunch of men. Today, we would call it lap dancing. Today, we would call it teasing. Today, we would call it a strip tease. Now, Herod, you reap what you sow, seduced his brother's wife. Now, it is Herod who's being seduced by his stepdaughter, his niece. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guest. She was seductive and won him over. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. Wow, he's boasting. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom. This is nothing but a false boast. He had no kingdom. He owned nothing. It was what the Romans gave to him, authority, period. He couldn't sell a thing or give away a thing. All he had was Jewish authority among the Jews. He wanted to be a big shot in front of his buddies. He wanted to be a king, and he wasn't. He was Jewish. He knew Old Testament history, and he was remembering what King Xerxes said to Esther. If you don't know the story, Esther, his wife, comes into his presence, and the king, Xerxes, looks at his lovely wife and says, whatever you ask for, up to half my kingdom, I'll give it to you. And she pleads with the king to spare a Jewish man's life, to save a life and the Jews. And the king grants it. Here's a Jewish girl going in front of a so-called Jewish king. And what does she ask for? Murder of a Jewish man. You see the difference between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God? Let's notice, let's see what happens. And she went out and said to her mother, this is the mother who played a role in an unlawful marriage, the mother who allowed this woman, this young lady, a daughter, to dance, okay, in front of a bunch of men. For what should I ask? She said, the head of John the Baptist. A grudge now moves to murder. a grudge unchecked will become worse and worse. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter, like a cake, like a birthday cake. And the king was exceedingly, notice this, sorry, but because of his oath and his guest, he did not want to break his word to her. What's the difference between sorry and repentance? Sorry is I'm sorry for what I'm doing. I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance is a verb altogether different. It's not an emotion. It's when you turn from sin and what you're doing to God and what he wants you to do. Have you ever seen a movie where somebody's going to murder somebody and you say, listen, I'm sorry. I don't want to shoot you. I'm sorry. But they continue. Sorry, I don't want to rob you, but give me all your money. What is repentance? Sorry, I'm not going to shoot you. Sorry, I'm not going to rob you. I'm not going to do this sin anymore. I'm turning from this way, which is bad and getting worse and worse and is not fulfilling. And I'm going to turn to my God. I'm going to turn to Jesus because he promises a better life. And I see it. And the Holy Spirit moves you to get closer to Jesus and what he wants you to do. This King Herod chose to continue to sin and to go from adultery, to go from lusting after a stepdaughter to murder. Unchecked sin will lead to more sin. 27, and immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. You want to talk about a dysfunctional family? Imagine living with that. He had trouble. That's why King Herod said, it's John the Baptist. I know he's risen from the dead. 29, when his disciples heard it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Wow. What a story. What are you going to take home? I've already shared with you, know this, if you share the kingdom of God with family, friends, relatives, people in your hometown, people you work with, don't be too upset if they don't listen, but keep talking about the kingdom. Because we are disciples, followers of Jesus, who have been sent to our homes, wherever we live, to share the kingdom. And you do that in action, word, and deed. Another thing you take home is this. Listen, if you stand up for God's word, don't be alarmed if somebody holds a grudge against you. And if you're holding a grudge this morning, if you're listening to me online and you're holding a grudge, let go. Turn it over to Jesus. It'll lead to worse sin. We learn that from this story. As I shared with guys and girls and everybody, be careful. Your eyes are the window to your soul. Be careful what you allow before your eyes, especially from the kingdom of the world. Okay? Bluntly speaking, no pornography. It's just going to lead to something worse. Okay? All right. The other thing we learn is this. If you're a Christian, you're going to be persecuted. People may laugh at you. Thank God you don't face being beheaded, okay? But there are people in our world that we pray for that we know that in third world countries are dealing with a lot of tough stuff, okay? But thank God that when we sin, he forgives us. And the Holy Spirit hopefully lives within you. And know that when he bids you and reminds you, let go of that grudge, and he tells you, don't be doing that, listen to the Holy Spirit. Turn and be moved by the Holy Spirit to do what's right, to do what God says in his word. And I'm going to tell you, life will become much better and fulfilling. Okay? We all fall and sin. Nobody's without sin. But we have a God who listens to us, a God who forgives us if we repent. And he says, I'll strengthen you. I'll take care of you. Don't you worry about it. Amen.